So last week, I started with a story about a little girl who prayed for a kitten. It involved some mishaps, a catapult. Thank you for laughing at that joke last week, by the way. It's very affirming. But I don't know if that story is true. You know, sometimes people tell stories as though they are true, and they're clever stories and they're fun, but I don't know if that story is true or not. But I hope it is. Don't you? I really want that story to have really happened to some family somewhere, and that it was passed on to us for us to learn something from. I mean, for one thing, I hope it's true, because it's a great reminder of how sometimes God orchestrates things in the most amazing ways far in advance. I mean, he's omniscient. He knows all things, past, present, and future. And this may have been the way that God chose to answer that little girl's prayer. I mean, think about all of the things that he would have orchestrated to make that happen. You know, that particular seed needed to grow up to become that particular tree, and that particular yard owned by that particular pastor at that particular time, that particular kitten climbed up into that tree. That pastor used that particular rope, pulled the tree in that particular direction, so that at that particular moment, when that specific girl kneeled down to pray, the car had already pulled away from the tree. The rope had already snapped. The cat was already airborne. So that at the moment this little girl says, "Amen," whoomp, mew. I want that to be true because it's a reminder of the kinds of things that God can do and the foresight that he has and the knowledge that he has of our lives. I also want it to be true for that mom who apparently didn't have a very high view of prayer at that time. I mean, clearly she didn't expect her daughter to have her prayer answered. She was placating her daughter. "Well, why don't you just pray about it, and then you can have a kitten." I know, right? Now, I'm pretty confident at this point, if this is a true story, that that mom has a very different view of what can be accomplished by prayer. And I want it to be true for that little girl. A little girl whom I suspect probably prayed for a pony next. But I'm pretty certain that that girl has never forgotten the time that she prayed for a kitten from heaven and got it. So I want that story to be true. I also, something else that I want to be true is I want every person in this church to feel comfortable in prayer, to feel competent in prayer. I don't want anybody to feel like they're a second-rate Christian or to feel like a failure when it comes to that part of their walk with the Lord. I want everyone to look forward to the time that they spend with the Lord in prayer, not lament it. I want people to clear other things from their schedule to make time for prayer because they enjoy it, not the other way around. This world needs us to be people of prayer. We need us to be people of prayer. We see in the Gospels that Jesus made a habit to regularly get away to pray. In Mark 1:35, it says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." Matthew 14:23, And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountainside to mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. Luke 6:12. In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. Luke 5:16. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. If Jesus himself felt the need and the value of regularly meeting with the Father in prayer, I am not better than Jesus. I am trying my best to attempt to be like him as close as I can get. I want to be more and more like Jesus. And so if I'm going to be like Jesus, if I'm going to follow him and do as he does, prayer needs to be a part of my life. Because it was certainly a part of his. We are encouraged by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's a well-known, often repeated verse, to pray without ceasing. Do you do that? Probably not. At least not the way that we generally think about what that means. You don't wake up in the morning, start your prayer time, and then stay in your prayer time all day long. It's an obvious impossibility if you take it literally to pray without ceasing. We have to eat, we have to work, we have to converse with other people. So clearly, the admonishment from Paul is not to wake up, start praying, go to sleep, wash, rinse, repeat. Even Jesus, as our model prayer, he didn't pray nonstop, did he? He had to have at some point fixed meals. He taught people, he built things, he conversed with people. I'm pretty certain that Jesus told jokes. He didn't spend every waking moment in prayer. So what does Paul mean about praying without ceasing? I love the explanation of this verse, that it's kind of like a phone call, a phone conversation that you have with other people. Where you're talking with somebody on the phone, or you're at work or at a party and you're talking with them, and somebody else comes up. For some of you, it's your kids. Mommy, 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 mommy. But you're having a conversation with somebody else, and then there's this interruption, and you talk to your kid and ask them what they need, and then you go back to this conversation. Or you're having a conversation with somebody at the water cooler, and somebody else comes up, and they chime in, and you have a conversation with them for a moment, but then you get back to the same conversation. And I think praying without ceasing is a lot like that. It is a constant conversation with God met with numerous interruptions throughout the day. You pray in the morning, you do your morning routine, you go to work, but when you read about something in your newsfeed that needs to be covered in prayer, you might just stop and say a short prayer about it. Lifting that issue to the Lord, leaving it in his capable hands. And when something that you see reminds you of your close friend, it might inspire you to say a quick prayer of blessing over that friend, this person that means so much to you. And all throughout the day, small things may remind you of things that matter to you. You can always pick up the conversation with the Lord again wherever you left off and bring these concerns to the Father who wants to hear about them. However, there are specific times. For some of you, it's in the morning. For some of you, it's in the evening. At some point in the day that we should devote solely for the purpose of prayer. Luke 5:16 in the NIV says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. It was his habit, and it should be our habit too. Again, I want to say that if Jesus himself felt the need to pray regularly, and he saw the value of prayer, I am not better than Jesus. I am trying to be like Jesus. To become more like him, that means that I also need to follow him in his practice of prayer. The disciples understood this. At one point, they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And what he gave them was what we call, what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer, it's sometimes called. I mentioned it last week, and we're going to look at it this morning again. We say the Lord's Prayer every Sunday. Now, that wasn't really what Jesus intended when he gave the prayer to the disciples, and nor was it his intention that this is the only prayer that we pray. The Lord's Prayer exists as to teach us what kinds of things that we ought to pray for. Let's take a look at it. Before we get into the actual list, I want to point out that Jesus invites us to pray for our Father, Abba. It's this very personal word, and it's a reminder that we are not praying to some force in the universe, some vending machine. This is a person that we are praying to. And not only that, it is a person who cares for us as in the way that only the best of fathers can care for us. So we should enter into prayer with a sense of expectation. I believe it's also an invitation to just converse with him on a personal level. Sometimes people can get kind of churchy with their prayers, right? We get really flowery with our language, and we use words that we never use in our regular conversation. I have some slightly irreverent videos that I watch sometimes, and one of my favorite lines is, "Everybody knows the rule, thee before thou, except after thine." And some of you are guilty of that when you pray. It is, you refer to those rules like that, and you think that somehow that makes your prayers more special. I think when he invites us to start with our Father, "Hey, Dad," it kind of communicates to us that we don't need to spice things up that way and have all these super special words. We should just talk to him. Prayer isn't a magic spell where if you say the right things the right way, things will happen no matter what. We're praying to a person. We're the person that we're praying to, we should just calm down a little sometimes and pray as Jesus does. We should pray to him the way that we would speak to him if we were face to face. It's not irreverent to speak to God that way. I believe it's one of the reasons why Jesus tells us to pray, "Our Father in heaven." Then we get into the list of the things that we pray for. We pray for God's will to be done. I love what Wes refers to all the time, that, you know, let's let what is up there come down here. And so we pray that his will be done, not ours. We pray for daily provision. We all know that when it says, "Give us today our daily bread," it's not just bread. That would be kind of rough for our gluten-free people. We know that it's daily provision. Help me pay my bills. Help me get through this workload that's extra on me right now. We pray for forgiveness. We pray that we would be patient and forgiving of other people. So we're praying for our relationships. There's worship in the prayer. There's praise. We pray for guidance, that God would help us to walk in a way that honors him, that we would not be tempted to do the things that we know we're not supposed to do, Those are the kinds of things that Jesus instructs his disciples, and we are disciples. So that's how these are the kinds of things that he's saying that we should pray about. It's a good list. Most everything that we pray about on a daily routine falls under this kind of a list. But it is given to us as an example of things to pray for. It's not the prayer to end all prayers, the only way to pray. When you look at the prayers Jesus himself prayed, he didn't just recite these specific words. In John 11, he prays before raising Lazarus from the dead. And he doesn't pray this prayer. That would be weird. It wouldn't make any sense. In Matthew 11, after the 72 returned from their ministry, he prays this prayer of thanks to the Lord. He prays for God to glorify his name after entering Jerusalem. We see that in John 12. And he prayed at his baptism. He prayed before breaking the loaves and the fishes. He prayed before he chose the 12 disciples. He asked for guidance from the Lord on who to pick and that God would have the right men in that place. He prayed at the Transfiguration. In John 17, we have this huge prayer, almost the whole chapter. It's really three different prayers, but that's not what he prayed. He prayed about things that are on there. He prayed for God's will to be done, and he prayed for forgiveness, and he prayed that we would be united. And at Gethsemane, he prayed, I don't want to go to the cross, but if it's your will, if that's the only way, I'll do it. Those prayers, some of them which were recorded for us, others which weren't, they were not just the Lord's Prayer recited over and over again each time. Jesus prayed different prayers according to the context and what was needed. And if we're to follow his example, we will do the same. We will make regular times to get away, to be alone with the Lord and pray. And we will pray about the things that are important to us. We'll go to our spot, we'll take out our list, and we will pray. We'll pray for things that matter to us. We'll pray for the things that matter to God. We will pray for our marriages. We will pray for our kids. We will pray for our country. We'll pray for the sick. We'll pray about our bills. Most every time, we will probably pray about the same kinds of things. I mean, there's never a time I'm not going to pray for my marriage. I'll never stop praying for my kids. Jackie, did you stop praying for Crystal when she moved out and was all independent and living on her own? No. Now that she's lovingly married to John and has a child of her own, have you stopped praying for Crystal now that she's all set and everything's fine? No. I may stop praying for someone who's sick and has recovered, but they're going to be replaced by the names of other people who are now sick or injured or having surgeries. My point is that when we pray, we usually pray mostly about the same kinds of things. But I think that's what gets us out of the habit sometimes, and I'll explain that in a moment. But right now I just want to do a small recap. Jesus gave us a model of prayer, which contains this bare bones list of the type of things that we ought to pray about. He himself prayed often, and his prayer featured items from the model prayer, but it wasn't just the model prayer recited over and over again. He prayed to the Father the way that he would speak to the Father face to face about things that needed prayer at that moment. And if we want to be more like Jesus, we should also pray often, speak to the Lord like we would to our Father about the kinds of things listed in the model prayer. But if we're not to pray this prayer over and over again, but we're to pray about the same things over and over again, this, I believe, is where some Christians begin to struggle, knowing what to say and how to say it. I told last week, I mentioned that I was going to give this method of prayer this week that was tremendously helpful to me and making me more comfortable in my prayer time. And before I get into the actual method, I have two verses about prayer that I want to introduce first, just as cautions and disclaimers. The first comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That's pretty powerful to me. Donald Whitney said about prayer that it is both highly intuitive and something that needs to be taught. A baby doesn't need to be taught to cry out to mom or dad for food or comfort. They inherently know to do so. And there are times in our life when we don't have the words to express to God what we need. We are sad, we are confused, we are lost. We just don't know what to do next. But the Spirit that lives inside of us interprets what we feel in our heart for us, and He takes that need to the Lord and makes this prayer on our behalf. Sometimes prayer needs no words at all. And so one of the things that we learn from this is that it's not the amount of words that makes prayer effective. And the second verse supports this. It's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. We read it last week. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. I give you these two verses because I don't want you to mistake what I'm about to teach you as by any means indicating that the more words that you use, the more likely your prayer will be heard. Jesus was very clear on this warning. We all have known people that sound like they are these amazing prayers because of the huge theological words that they use. They string together these great churchy phrases, and they wax on and wax off and wah, 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 wah. But sometimes we think, man, I wish I could pray like that person. More words does not guarantee more results. God answers your prayers because He loves you. The method I'm about to share with you, I learned from Donald Whitney, who in turn learned the concept from D.A. Carson. They're both very accomplished Christian authors. They're very godly men. Whitney calls it praying the Bible. You're really excited about that, I can tell. All the hoots and hollers. You felt about that phrase, about the way that I did. I bought the book. But I didn't have high expectations. I'm just going to be honest. It's not what you might think. It surely wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I thought at first that maybe it was just going to be some sort of list of prayers for all occasions. You know, like if you needed guidance, you could pray this prayer that somebody else prayed for guidance, and you just pray their prayer, and then it worked for you. Or if you needed prayer for healing, you just pray the prayer that somebody else prayed for healing. It worked for them, so maybe it will work for you, kind of a thing. And while I did see some value in that in some certain situations, I think that there can be a place for that, it didn't really appeal to me very much for my daily routine. Unfortunately, that's not how praying the Bible works at all. One of the issues that we face when we're praying is that we pray about the same things that are important to us all the time. But we also tend to use the very same words when we pray for those things. And sometimes that can lead us into a rut, and we get bored with the things that we are saying, and it can kind of feel like we are just heaping up empty phrases. And we think, well, man, if I'm bored with what I'm saying, am I boring God too in my prayers? The solution isn't to stop praying about those things. Why would we not pray about our family, our church, our job, our future? These are the most important things to us. We should be praying for them. We just need a way to introduce fresh words into our prayers, and that's what this system does, that's what this method does. It works like this. We're going to put the 23rd Psalm, at least the first part of it, up on the screen. Just as an example, because this is actually how I learned it, was using the 23rd Psalm. And the 23rd Psalm starts out, we all know this one, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, when you are praying through the Bible, or praying the Bible, you are allowing the Spirit to guide your thoughts a bit, to stir thoughts in you. And so what you do is you just start reading the Scripture wherever you are. And I've got a whole list of ways that you can pick Scriptures to read to guide your prayers. That's for a whole nother time. But whenever you come to a word that reminds you of something to pray about, you stop reading and start praying. And you pray about that thing, whatever it is that came to your mind, and you use that word as a springboard. So like, "The Lord is my shepherd," the first thing that stands out to me is the word "Lord." And I would probably start there, because in a different method of prayer, the ACTS model of prayer, which some of you may know, not A-X-E, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. A lot of you have learned that. And one of the things in the ACTS model of prayer is you start with adoration. You praise God first to remind yourself who you're addressing. And so I might start with something like this. You know, "Lord God in heaven, you alone are God, no one else, not even me, is Lord. Help me to be mindful that it is your will that needs to be done. Your ways are always better than my ways. Help me to yield to you whenever my desires conflict with yours, and forgive me for the times I've put my desires before yours." And at that point, I might pause for a minute to see if anything else comes to my mind. Now, I've got two things in there. I've prayed not only for his sovereignty, I've acknowledged that he is Lord, but I've also prayed about my submission to his sovereignty. Both of those things came to my mind when I was praying that, and so I prayed about both of those things. So I stay on that word until nothing else comes to my mind. When nothing else comes to mind, I move on. So the Lord is my shepherd. That may not cause anything to come to your mind at all. Or it might get you thinking about some weird YouTube video that you saw with sheep. But for me, this is what came to my mind. Wendy and I have what I consider to be a really good relationship with our boys, Levi and Tyler. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that we are so open with them, and that from our experience, they seem willing to talk to us about just about anything. But it has been a great comfort for me knowing that they have other godly men in their life to draw wisdom and guidance and counsel from. Particularly, I'm thinking about men like Andy Bingham and Dylan Weaver, who were the youth sponsors in the youth group for Levi and Tyler. I'm thinking about Ronnie, my father-in-law, and I'm thinking about my dad, and I'm thinking about Wes. I know that if my boys ever had something that they didn't feel comfortable talking to me about, I know that there were godly men that I fully trust the lives of my boys with that they could talk to. I fully trust them. Without question. And I'm grateful as a father to have them as shepherds for my boys. So at this point, I may say something along these lines when I get to that word, shepherd. "Lord, I thank you for the men you have sent as shepherds to my boys. They have tended to them and been protectors for them. I'm very grateful that they were a resource available to my sons. I ask that as they are in a new place now with people I do not know, that you would continue to put men in their lives, men who love you and are following you, that these men that these would be the men that they are drawn to and that they seek and value their wisdom as it most likely comes from you and honors you. It makes sense to pray that because I'm already going to pray for my boys. It just gives me a different way of praying for them. I would continue praying. I'm also thankful for the men in my own life who have mentored me, my own shepherds. Both the men I have known as well as the men who have written books that have nurtured my faith and challenged me to grow in ways I might not ever have grown were it not for their influence. And I'm grateful for your guidance. You are the good shepherd. And I know that as long as I listen to your voice and follow your lead, you will not put me into any real danger. I am safe with you. And I will continue praying along those lines until the word shepherd no longer brings anything else to my mind to pray about. I do not move on until that point. Does that make sense? When I have nothing left to say, I move on to the next word or the next verse until another word spurs a prayer, and I continue in that matter until one of two things happens. I run out of things that I want to pray about, or I run out of time. It's natural for me to pray for my boys. It's right for me to do so. This method just helps me to pray for them in a different way, using different words than I normally would. I go through the passage of Scripture, stopping wherever the Spirit encourages me to stop, and I pray about something. I pray about that thing, whatever it is, until nothing else comes to mind, and then I move on. Now, the point is not to get through the whole Scripture. It's not a race. It's not a mission. And at times, I may not even get past the second verse, depending on what I'm praying about. The purpose is to keep me engaged in prayer. It's finding new ways to express my desires to the Lord. Now, I need to mention here that you are not, what you're not doing when you're praying the Bible this way, you are not praying what the Bible says. Okay, you're not interpreting the Bible in this. It's very different than what you might do when you're doing Bible study. I'm going to give you an extreme example. Let's say that when you were what you were reading is you're in Revelation 19 instead of the Psalms. I don't recommend starting there. But let's say that you get to verse 20 and you come to the place where it talks about the mark of the beast. And you have a friend named Mark. Right? If we were to be interpreting Scripture, it would be very, very wrong to think that that's what it's talking about. But when we are praying the Bible, that's completely okay. If you have a friend named Mark and it causes you to think about him, pray for your friend Mark. There's nothing wrong with doing so, and it's appropriate to pray for your friend Mark. And using this method, you'll be using the words of God to pray to God. He doesn't need you to recite his own words back to him. They are his words. He knows them. What he wants to hear is your concerns, your requests, your praises, your words. But if using his words helps you to be a bit more creative and not be in a rut, and if being more creative and not being in a rut helps you to pray more, that's a good thing. So, let's try this together. This is a dangerous thing to try sometimes. We're going to stay with the 23rd Psalm. We've already done the first line. We've done the Lord is my shepherd. Don't be hasty. Don't rush through it. Go through kind of slowly, but I want you to just read through that. And if something comes to your mind, if one of the words sticks out, if the Spirit inspires you and you fixate on a word and you also, something that you normally would pray about comes to mind, I'm just going to ask you, invite you to share that with us, to share that with me. What comes to your mind that, and it might not be anything that you normally would have associated with that word, but I want you to go ahead and call that out. If you want to, go ahead and pray a short prayer for that request. Amen.
I'm thankful that I can take comfort not only in not as sufficient for me to get my feet back, but continue to correct me. I'm lost without this correction. And this.
For you, I love me.
Thank you. I could do this for a long time, just listening to you call out to the Lord and praying His word, letting it inspire you to pray about things. This process has enlivened my prayers in a way that I can't really fully explain to you. It's given me new ways to express my petitions to God so that I don't get bored and I don't feel like I'm piling up empty phrases in mindless repetition. I've enjoyed it so much, and it's become such a part of my prayers that I've also found that it works with songs, too. A few years ago, my son Levi was dating Alexis Dewey, and she was doing this presentation on sex trafficking at First Christian Church in Baxter. She'd done a lot of research on it, and she was very, very passionate about it. In fact, right now she works for Rafa House, continuing that work, but she wanted to improve awareness in our area about how real, how tragic, and how much help is needed to stop this evil, horrible evil that is in our world. Wendy and I wanted to go support her, so we went and we watched her presentation. And the format went kind of like this. She had the lights down kind of low, and she would speak for a little bit, and she would use PowerPoint slides to show the data that she was presenting, and then she would give us some time to pray while music played in the background. And there were two things that stood out to me in that. The first thing is that after a while, I started running out of things to pray about. Even though her presentation was really good, it was still primarily just about kids in the sex trafficking industry. And after several rounds of prayer, I found it harder to stay focused on praying because I didn't want to just keep repeating the same prayer over and over again. Second thing is, Alexis played worship music while we were praying. And at first I was annoyed by the music because it had lyrics. And I like music, worship music a lot, and I have a tendency to sing along when I'm listening to it, so that made it distracting for me. Part of me was trying to listen to the song, while part of me was trying to focus on praying. And the critical part of me, not that anybody knows anything about that, was thinking, well, she should have used instrumental music, because that would have been easier for us trying to pray. But then, it occurred to me, why don't I just pray the lyrics the way that I pray scripture? So one of the songs that she played, I remember this, was I Praise You in the Storm. I've got some of the lyrics that we're going to put up here. It's a great song by Casting Crowns, and that was one of the songs that she had playing in the background. And I picked up on a couple of different phrases as I was praying, things like whisper and I am with you and takes away. I prayed something along the lines of this: Lord, I'm sure there is a young man or woman who's whispering to you right now, a quiet prayer. I imagine that they probably have to keep their voice low because they're afraid of getting caught or something worse happening to them. I pray that you will let them know that their prayers are heard. Even though their prayer is barely audible, you hear them. No prayer is so quiet that you cannot hear it. And let them know that you are with them. Make your presence known. I can't imagine how alone they feel at this moment, but there's no dark corner, no hidden room where their captors can hide them from you. You are there with them right now. Please reveal yourself to them in a way that they will know that it is you. I don't know what that would look like for them, but you do. And they'll recognize it too. Then I prayed that he would take them away from these horrible people. Send people to rescue these kids from this horrible life that they don't deserve. Be their rescuer. Use the hands and feet of willing people, guide and direct their steps to bring salvation to these kids. Don't let them suffer another day. And Lord, I ask that you bring swift judgment on the men and women who have done these despicable things to them. I just used the words of the song to breathe life into praying for something that I care about in a different way. On my own, I probably would never pray using some of those words and some of those phrases. At my weakest points, just to be honest, my prayers are like this: Lord, I pray for so-and-so. That's about it. Bland, awful prayers. And I lean heavily on the promise of Romans 8:26 that I read earlier, that God hears our prayer even when we don't have the right words for it. In those moments, I lean heavily on that truth. But this method of praying the Bible works for me. It broke a cycle of long-standing frustration, and it opened up a whole new world of possibility in prayer. Now, some of you don't need it, so don't use it. Stick with what's working for you. Some of you will absolutely hate this method, because we all have, it's not because the method is bad or because you are bad, it's just that God has made us all with different personalities and different passions and different skills. But I hope and pray that the others of you will try this, and that you will find a new sense of joy and expectation in your quiet time. That you will look forward to finding out what you will pray next. Steal moments throughout the day as you pray without ceasing. Just pay attention to what's going on around you. And I've taken it even further, that sometimes, this is going to sound really weird, but I just pray my environment. I think I use my senses as, what do I see? What do I hear? What do I feel? And I pray that. Lord God, my desk is a mess. Stuff is just everywhere, and it seems like I will never get it sorted out. So is my life. My life is so messy right now, and I feel like I'll never get it sorted out. There are so many things that need to be done. I feel like I'm pulled in so many directions. I just need a little bit of peace. Send me your peace, Lord. You are the one who makes order out of chaos. Please bring order to my life. Whatever it takes, be a person of prayer. Whether you use this method or if it inspires you to seek something else that will work with your personality, do something to kick some energy into your prayer life and be a person of meaningful prayer. Lord God, at this moment, all I can think about is time. That I'm running out of time. I'm very aware of the way that time is ticking away, that we are all running out of time. You're returning someday. And your scriptures ask a powerful question: when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? Oh, that you would find us ready and faithful. I pray, Lord, that you would grow our faith through our prayers. Stretch us. Reveal your will to us through them. Enliven us through them. And teach us how to pray well. You've promised us that if we seek you, we will find you. Make level the way to knowing you. And I ask your blessing upon these people, your church. Guide and direct their steps. Guard their hearts from the troubles that they are facing. And I ask that you give us grace for each moment. I ask this in the name of your Son. Amen. Now, will you stand with me and say the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Have a great week.